we're good to go.
Okay, I'd like to call the meeting to order of the National Airport Authority on Wednesday, February 21st at 6 o'clock. Roll call.
Kevin Rosenblum.
Here.
Vice Chairperson Cushing Adams.
Here.
Director Duquette.
Here.
Secretary Scheifele.
Here.
Director Woods.
Here.
Okay. Is there any public input? Thank you. I want to welcome everyone. We canceled last month, so it's been a couple of months since we've gathered together, but we've been in touch with one another and have updated reports so we can all be current on things. First item that we have is officer elections. I'll turn it over to the nominating committee.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to look for positions. Chairman Rosenblum, I'd like to see you remain as chairman and treasurer. Secretary Scheifele, remain as secretary. I'd like to pass my position on to Farrell for vice chair. I'll be leaving in August, so we're looking for new people to fill my position. And Joe and I would stay on as directors if I would like.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Congratulations to the new board. Okay, we have Secretary Scheifele, we have minutes.
Okay, we have the public minutes from November the 15th. No comments. I make a motion to approve the public minutes of the board meeting from November the 15th.
I'll second.
Is there any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Okay, there wasn't any board meeting in December because of snow, weather cancellation. We did have a non-public meeting in January. We did not vote to seal those minutes, therefore they were posted and have been posted. So on motion to approve the non-public minutes of the January 16th non-public meeting minutes.
I'll second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Treasurer's report. We have the financial statements for January, which starts, the budget to actual is on page, we have actually 3 months in the packet. So if there are any particular questions, but we'll talk about just the January, which begins on page 47 of the comparison of actual to budget. We are running ahead on our land lease income year to date by about $11,000, and that's due to we had under-budgeted the revenue on that because of one lease we didn't think we'd get monies for, and we are collecting on that. The other items are pretty much in line. Our fuel flowage fees is a little bit ahead, about $1,400 ahead of budget. We did get $7,500 in miscellaneous income, which was primarily a reimbursement for expenses that were paid out for the runway project, for the paving project, for audit fees and other things. The snow removal income is down as of January 31st by $3,700. But overall, we're ahead by $18,000 in income. Our expenses are, as you can see, they're all pretty much under budget. The accounting and auditing services is netted out against the $7,500 a month, so that expense is under budget. And unless there are specific items that you want to address, page 48 also has shortfalls under budgets on most of the items. And we had budgeted $311,000 year to date in expenses. Our actual is $280,000, which is a variance of about $31,000. So at this point, our net surplus is
$35,639.
The $5,000 above budget for accounting and audit. That is the actual amount that we paid for accounting services. We were reimbursed from the FAA and the state as part of that $7,500 miscellaneous income. So the two are netted out.
And the $3,100 on vehicle repairs, is that a threaded snow removal? Aging snow removal?
It used to be a lot more when Roy was around.
I'm just wondering how that dovetails into what our budget is. That was a lot of repairs.
So I'd like to make a motion to accept the January 31st, 2018 financial statements as presented pending audit.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. Next item is communications.
Okay, we have a long list here of communications. The first item is a November letter from the New Hampshire Department of Transportation questioning the use of a key hanger for possible non-aviation use. And we have a second letter from DOT in January of 2018 acknowledging receipt of the explanations and acceptance of the explanations and the cases accordingly. All of these communications, by the way, are on file and available for anyone to inspect. We have a letter from New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services dated in December with a closure report for the removal of the underground storage tanks, and there are no issues as stated in that letter. We have a letter from the Manchester, Boston Manchester Airport offering to us, this is early January, a 20-foot mower deck.
Yes, we did.
We have two letters from Shane McLaughlin, I'm sorry, one letter, dated early January, recommending or endorsing the plan for Southern New Hampshire University and their proposed activities in Building 79, which is the Aviation Center. We received a communication in early January from National Jet Aviation complimenting the staff for outstanding snow removal. We have a letter the 23rd of January from West Blue concerning the changes to the master plan, and Wes is here, so you may want to discuss that.
I'm happy with the response from the airport.
Okay. And then we have two requests also from Shane McLaughlin's law office for the extension, I'm sorry, a request to extend the leases on building Hangar 89 and Hangar 91. And again, copies of all of this correspondence is on file at the office. That's it.
I had a question on the mower deck that we received from Manchester. Did we send them a thank you?
I did. I sent the director as well as the man that's in charge of operations.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a few questions. So, Chris, like the DOT letters, I know we've talked extensively, you know, with Carol and stuff. Do you feel like we need to move forward, like on her second letter, when she's asking for amendments? Do you feel like we should be proactive and start working on that, or just write it out?
It was case closed when we were finished with Carol with this one.
Okay. That's still the case, I know, but do you think going forward, do you think we need to do something?
I'll continue to review it.
And then, one more. Oh, the equipment, that is nice. Are you, you know, I know we need new equipment, and you and Matt have done a really, really great job. I'm really impressed with that, getting stuff for us, but not much. I think that was it.
Matt's on the computer every day finding more surplus equipment that's a great benefit to the Air Force, and he's doing an excellent job with that.
Really impressed
with that. I guess that was all. Anything else? Okay. Next is the tower report. In the packet, it shows that for 2017, there were a total of 56,930 accounts, which is down about 1,800 from 2016, a decrease of about 3%. That's through the calendar year 2017, page 66. And then on page 67 has the count for January, where we had 3,887 as a count versus 3,756, an increase of 131, so we're up 3% for the month of January. Any questions? Next, we'll go to the airport manager's report, which is on page 73.
Okay, recent events, none to speak of. And we have a list of upcoming events. Right. Take a seat over here so I can face it. Right. June 2nd, we were planning the Aviation Museum of New Hampshire fly-in barbecue like we did last summer. I got a little last minute tidbit the other day from Dave Plantier. They're planning the Young Eagles that day, and I don't believe I want to mix the two events together, so we may have to reschedule that, because last year there was a little too much traffic out on the ramp to have kids and planes scooting in and out of the barbecue. So we'll revisit that. July 2nd through July 9th, the Air Power History Tour from the Commemorative Air Force. They're going to be bringing in a B-29 Super Fortress Fifi that's been here before. They're going to bring a C-45 Expediter and a T-6 Texan, and they'll be here for the week. They'll land on July 2nd. They'll take a couple days to rest, and then they'll be offering the rides Wednesday through Sunday. And that should draw some pretty big crowds, as it has in the past. And the timing's great, too, for the 4th of July week. September 14th, Summer Fun 2018 Movie Night. They haven't announced the movie yet, but we decided that September 14th is the night we want to do it. And the following day, September 15th, we're going to do the Wheels and Wings like we did last year. That's generally held during the summer months, but we saw such a great turnout last year in September, so we decided to do it the same day again. And it seems to coincide with the Apple Fest, and people are going to both events, and it really worked out great for both events. Other items of interest. Had a meeting with Kim Gilbert from Stein Realty and James Ricker, Novus Engineering, regarding the installation of some groundwater monitoring wells at 99 Perimeter Road. They'd removed some fuel tanks from there, and I think it was a little over a year ago, and there was a little bit of contamination, so they want to put these wells in to monitor the, is it the MBTE, Matt, you may know? Yeah. And it's a really low level of it, so they put these wells in to monitor. I gave them permission.
The only pavement that they penetrated was on their own property, so it really didn't have any effect on anything else at the airport. And they're still monitoring the wells, so we don't really have any results from it yet. We're going to have a meeting with Bruce Bauer from Continental Paving regarding, regarding the repair of a door on Hangar 7. And Mike, you're familiar with this because this is your door. And it was damaged during the paving project last year. And the outcome is that they brought a sheet metal guy in and he measured up the door and they're going to custom fab the lower half of that door and replace it because we can't find anything that's even close to it in production.
Just for the record, it's not my door. I rent that door.
Right. This one has to push the bent door back and forth. It's owned by the Tampos, Jim Tamposi Sr. Hangar use policy issue regarding a tenant, Hangar 19, was resolved, as Bob pointed out in the communications. Carol stated in their last letter that we were substantially compliant. So we don't have to worry about that one anymore. Snow plowing, I wrote this note back to the last meeting that we didn't have, but during our recent snow events, the airports remained open and usable at all times, with the exception of times when the SRE is out on the movement areas. We actually had to close the airport, not our last storm, but the one prior to, because the airport was unusable at night. I left there at about 8 o'clock. And closed the runway because there was no way anybody could have landed. It was snow, it rained, it got crusted over on the top, and so we shut the airport down for the night. And we reopened it probably, I think it was around 10 o'clock the next morning after we cleared it all. But for the most part, we keep it open all the time. January 22nd, attended the City of Nashville Capital Improvement Committee meeting. Mike Rosenblum, Chairman Rosenblum, myself attended that. And we presented our six-year capital improvement plan, a little wish list to the city to get some contributing funds for these projects that we have. Seemed well-received, too, by the way. And January 30th, I met with a local producer, a videographer. His name's Keller Nunley. And we made a short film about Nashua Airport. If anybody wants to see it, it's on YouTube, and it's also on our website. And the starring actor in it, he was really good. Oh, that's me. But it really showcases the airport, and he did a great job for a guy that was there for probably less than 2 hours and had the thing produced and published that afternoon with very little editing that we did to it. So I was impressed and very thankful to Mr. Nunley. And he said he'll come back. And several people on the airfield actually enjoyed it so much they've offered to give him plane rides to get some more perspective flying over the airport and get some more videos. January 31st, Susan and I met with the City of Nashua Summer Fund, 2018 Summer Fund Committee to plan the dates for the movie night, Wheels and Wings, which I already told you the dates that we planned for that. That went off well. We have a lot of meetings throughout the year to make sure that everything's coordinated and goes off without a hitch. February 14th, Chairman Rosenblum and I met with Mayor Donches, City of Nashville CFO John Griffin, and Chief of Staff Kim Kleiner. Chairman Rosenblum, this is to discuss budget and anything about the airport. It was a pretty casual meeting. Chairman Rosenblum discussed the current state of the airport in our budget, including a request for the 5% city share for our upcoming SRE snow removal equipment project. For you, those of you that don't know, we put in for a new grader, and it's rather expensive, and the city's looks like they're going to agree to give us the 5% share for it. So the federal government pays 90%, the DOT kicks in 5%, and then the city share is 5%. So that's looking pretty good. I also discussed our need for a new tractor to mow the 325-acre property that we have, and requested that it be funded by SERF monies, which is Capital Equipment Reserve Fund monies, which is a thing within the city where all the departments in the city, they have this reserve fund, and all the fire trucks, the police cars, the pickup trucks, the parks rec, that's where all the funding comes from. And I put a request in for one piece of equipment. We need a tractor to mow the airfield. It's about a $130,000 tractor. We don't have the funds to do it, so I requested this. And I pled my case to let them know that, you know, the city owns the airport and they need us to help us maintain the infrastructure. So we'll see where that goes. We're going to have another meeting on March 15th, I believe, Mike. Is that right? And we'll discuss it again at that meeting with the budget committee. Also discussed the need for the city to maintain a repaved perimeter road. I enlightened them of the fact that the tenants of Nashua Airport paid over $717,000 in property taxes last year. And I feel that it's a reasonable request that we get some assistance with maintaining the infrastructure of the city-owned Nashua Airport. And that's really important because I know there's a lot of tenants in the room. I know I'm a tenant. There's some few tenants on the board. And we know that the streets of Nashua all around are deteriorating. But you can't drive down Perimeter Road, Sharon Ave, or Pine Hill without, you know, trying to lose a few tires off your vehicle. And we do pay a lot of taxes, and it's definitely in need of repair. So, anybody have any questions?
One comment, Chris. I'm a member of the city's resiliency committee, and I sat next to Paul Shea, who is the daddy of downtown Nashua, and I was telling him about Ubi Night and other things. I didn't know anything about this. I want to put him on your list.
He should. He was in the Summer Fund Planning Committee sitting right beside me.
That's not making sense. You know, if you ever wanted to put him there, for the guy.
Okay. All right.
Put him on your list,
he actually he runs the Civic Sounding Board page on Facebook as well. So I've been in touch with him, and I will reach out to him again and reintroduce myself.
Yeah.
I have a few.
I think he's a busy guy, Bob, so he probably forgot.
Okay, I just have a few questions or comments. Can you make sure that I get some flyers for the Air Power History Tour
in
advance? Because I'll pass those out and make sure people know about it.
The media director will be contacting me, I was told.
Okay.
And we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to coordinate with the local media. Get all the flyers. We'll have all that to you well in advance.
And all that, you know, all that is really important for me to know, so staffing wise and stuff like that. And the same thing with the dates changing for Young Eagles, things like that. And snow plowing, you guys are doing a really, really great job. And I know, do you have enough help, you think? You know.
Yeah, we took on another part-time guy, Ken Richards. He's working out fantastic. Mm-hmm. And so it's been myself, Matt, Joe, Bob, and Bob. And now Ken Richards. And Bob, they have other things to do in life, so they can't always be there, but for the most part, they've been there for every storm this year. So
you think you're well?
Yeah, I think it's working out well. We have a good system down, and I think I've heard from tenants that they're happy with the results. Yes, Russ.
Just to give Chris a pat on the back. Every year for the past, I don't know, 7 or 8 years after the storm, I bought my own plow to clean up around Building 109. This is the first year I haven't had to do that. So they're doing great.
That's my section. That's fine. we try to do our best around all the hangars. And as a matter of fact, I realized, you know, I was told we're only responsible for X amount of feet. It's much easier for us to go and wing away from all the hangars to start with a pickup truck really close, and you can get within a couple inches. You just go slow and careful, and then I don't have to keep going back and doing the cleanups after the people shovel away from the hangars. So we're doing a few. We're doing it for us as well. It's saving time and money, and I think everybody's happier. So
I also wanted to commend the staff. You and the staff were clean up during the snowstorms. I know it's challenging times and occurs in off hours many times, and I appreciate the hard work
that
you've been doing. I have a couple of questions on, did we send Nunley a thank you?
I did. I've been in touch with him actually numerous times since, and I did send him a letter, an email.
The other thing is, in past years, we've had an open house for legislators. We've invited them to and toured them around the facility. Are there any plans for that?
I will make plans for it. I know we had a tenant appreciation barbecue last year. I was not aware of until you sent the email to me about bringing the legislators in. So maybe you and I can have a meeting.
Yeah. I think that's very important considering we have some new aldermen on the,
yep,
on the board and things like that.
As well as I've reached out offering tours to anybody with the city, with the Board of Aldermen. And I hope that people come and accept my invitation. So, because it's really an exciting place, and everybody here belongs to it. And I think everybody would say the same thing. It's a great asset to the city of Nashua, and we'd really like you to see it and enjoy it with us.
And I would like to also say that I'm going to plan some summer things. We haven't, Mr. Cafe hasn't done anything for quite a while, as you know. I'm ready to do some barbecues, things like that. I also would like to have kind of a welcome when Southern New Hampshire gets up and going. I think that would be great to have everybody come around and welcome them and find out what they're doing. I think it's a great idea that they have. It'll be great for the city, great for the airport. So I would definitely like to have a little welcome.
And we can help you with that, too, from the airport authority.
So we'll work offline.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any more questions?
Let me ask a question.
Good. What's the question?
We had a meeting with Southern New Hampshire. The ball was in their court to make a presentation to us. Have we heard from them?
They made a presentation to us, and
that was here.
Yes.
But the lawyers were going to get together, and they said about 3 weeks.
Right. So I talked to Steve Bolton. I talked to him twice last week. He was a little tied up with a lawsuit with the city, so it got put on the back burner a little bit. He was working on it, and he said he would have it to me as soon as he can. It's just not quite ready yet.
And it's nothing really urgent. They have 2 years, so it's nothing that has to be done right away.
Well, in yesterday's paper, the mayor announced that, as a matter of what's going on in the city, that Southern New Hampshire is going to ramp up a pilot program, et cetera.
Yeah.
Basically, we met with them last month, and they pretty much told us what their plans are and what they would like to see from the airport authority. And then we adjourned. That's the non-public meeting. You all want to be at this PowerPoint associated with it. And the attorney plural for Southern New Hampshire was supposed to get with the city attorney to work up the language for the agreement. That's what we're waiting for.
So basically, at this point, we don't have anything from anyone, and we have nothing to report.
And I also communicated with Joe Donovan from Southern New Hampshire University the other day, and I explained to him that we're still waiting to hear from Attorney Bolton.
Wes?
Just a question. Is there anything that prevents them from moving into the aviation center in Hangar 85?
They've already started that. They're actually in there working on IT issues. In 79, they've laid out how they're going to fill all the rooms in there. They're actually using the hangar already. Excuse me, they have Civil Air Patrol in the hangar as well. They've offered them space in their hangar.
So it's just the lawyers.
Yeah.
Well, the discussion was basically around what happens after the lease expires, which is in 2.5 years.
30 August 2020.
Okay, moving along, we have airport engineer.
Thank you. I'll go first. I think I'm on the list.
You are. Okay.
And Director Cushing Adams, I will try and be, or not be, long-winded this evening. Looks like a lot of the master plan committee members are here. So just as a brief update, so the last time that Gail presented or spoke with the authority was back in November. The December meeting was canceled, but the master plan committee took full advantage of that open slot, and we met. I think we had a marathon of a meeting. It was about 3 hours, and we hashed out a lot of important things that the airport's looking to do and things that they're looking to pursue. We ended up sending out a link for the facility requirements chapter, as we did not meet in January due to the snow. So I'm hoping everyone had a chance to read that, and Director Rosenblum is just passing out a little cheat sheet of some of the things that were discussed, part of Chapter 5. I won't read through all of this and bore everyone to tears, but some of the major things that we are going to be looking at as we move forward, and some of the items that are going to come up during the next meeting when we start looking at location of some of these items, are going to be things like the runway approach requirements. In the runway 32 end, the hold line is currently 560 feet away from the runway center line. And the reason for that is due to the 34-to-1 approach slope for the TERF's approach surface in the runway 32 end. So as part of the alternatives analysis, we're going to work with NHDOT to see if we can get that either, number one, moved a little bit closer. And I know Chris is working with Brian Bean in the tower on some of the requirements that they're looking for to actually get that moved closer, or potentially looking at putting in some sort of a stub taxiway that would relocate traffic outside of the TERF's 30-to-1 surface and connect into 1432. Middle of the page here on 5.1.3, there's a TERF runway. This is something that keeps coming back up that's important to the Master Plan Committee. Ultimately, we'll be presenting that as part of the alternatives analysis to this board. But we're going to be looking at the different requirements, what's needed in order to get something like that back and get it reinstated, and ultimately pushing to get that on the airport layout plan. 5.1.4.1, middle of the page, taxiway A requirements. As we've mentioned in the past, it's currently 550 feet from the runway 1432 center line. The design standard for that only requires 400 feet. So we're going to be looking at different alternatives to move that closer to runway 1432, which would free up some additional space for future tie-down locations, potential de-icing facility locations, fuel farms, and things like that. So moving that closer to the runway is going to free up that space and allow for potential future development on the air side. On page 2, 5.1.6.11, the AWOS, for everyone that's familiar with the location of the AWOS, it's located in the area that's known as the Boneyard or Graveyard. In its current location, it's a conflict because that area is prime for either future hangars, future fuel facilities, de-icing potentially. So we're looking at relocating that, looking at the different dimensional requirements, what's required to move that AWOS, what's the best suitable location for that so that we're able to free up additional development at the airport. We talked about the terminal building. There's a couple different ideas that have been floated out there, potentially moving Chris's office and Susan's office into the old DW college building, or potentially looking at a free standalone terminal facility. That's something, again, that we'll be putting on various alternatives and taking a look at and see what makes the most sense. Same thing for hangars, 5.2.2. There's a lot of desire to free up space and perhaps put some corporate hangars in that graveyard, boneyard area. The area off India Ramp, looking at potentially doing some T-hangers down in that area, potentially looking at solar options. We did look into on-call customs on behalf of the airport. We spoke with Customs Border Patrol Services. It's going to be pretty costly for the airport to do something like that and take on an on-call service. A lot of the cost would be shouldered on the authority in the airport. But nonetheless, we are going to be looking at different alternatives in different areas to site the building should the airport decide to pursue that in the future. Towards the end of the page, 5.3.1, automobile parking. This was another major concern that the Master Plan Committee had brought to Gail's attention. Essentially, what's going on for many of you and you pilots and everyone that knows what's going on out there is there's really no designated, delineated parking spaces out there. So people are having a tendency to park all over the place, which potentially creates a conflict with aircraft and people moving in their vehicles. So as part of the alternatives, we're going to be looking at using every square inch of the airport that we can, where it makes sense to increase the parking facilities for tenant users. Fuel facilities, bottom of the page, 5.3.4. The airport expressed an interest in having a self-serve fuel facility that would be available for 24 hours a day for airport users. We're taking a look at various locations to site that and incorporate that into the airport's plans. Lastly, the major one that I want to talk about on the last page is the icing facility. So we've heard in the past from airport personnel, from Chris, I know he's heard it a bunch of times, the FBOs, airport users. A lot of times, Nashua is being overlooked by some corporate jet users for the lack of the icing facilities. They're afraid to get stuck here after a storm. So we've contacted EPA Region 1 out of Boston. We've got the list of requirements that they would be looking for should the airports look to set up some sort of de-icing facility. We've started looking at different areas to site this facility. And again, we'll be putting all this stuff together on several iterations, probably four alternatives that ultimately, after we meet with the Master Plan Committee after this meeting, we'll bring back to a future authority meeting and line up all the posters and take a look at which ones the authority thinks is the best decisions for the airport moving forward. So in a nutshell, rather quickly, that's the facility requirements. I would be looking to get approval from this board to go ahead and put that up on the airport's website so that we can start soliciting public input on it and then start answering any questions that people may have at future authority meetings.
You're looking for a motion?
I think it would make sense to get, so basically if I can get that up on the website, that opens up kind of that public comment period. We can start addressing questions at future authority meetings. Then the next step is going to be for the Master Plan Committee and myself to get back together, reconvene, take a look at what we've outlined in Chapter 5 and start mapping all of these facilities out on various layout plans and ultimately come up with a preferred alternative that will be pushed forward for the airport's airport layout plan.
So, Michael, I have a comment on that. So,
I remember
asking Carol in the past if she had, you know, any issues regarding, you know, publishing any of those chapters on the website. You know, the only thing that she said was to make sure that there was a draft watermark on each page.
Right, which we've been doing. We've done that for chapters 1 through 4. As for people that aren't as familiar, the Master Plan Committee has been meeting more frequently than the authorities meeting. And so we get a little bit ahead, and then we want to, I prefer to stop and then come back to this authority for, you know, approval, just to make sure that nobody has any, you know, glaring concerns or questions with any of the chapters that we're doing. And then, yeah, get that up on the website.
Okay.
So all of this, we could potentially get money.
Most of the stuff in here would be AIP eligible, correct?
De-icing is a little iffy. A lot of
that
will fall on us, right?
There's different components to the de-icing that are eligible, and then there's a lot of components with that are not AIP eligible for a facility like Nashua. Yep.
I would entertain a motion. So
I'd like to make a motion that we go ahead and approve Chapter 5 airside capacity and requirements be posted to the website for public comment period.
As a draft.
As a draft.
Yep.
Okay.
Second. Discussion? It's been a motion and been seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
I'd just say one last thing. Like I said, that meeting that we had was about a 3-hour-long meeting, but I know Chris and Farrell and West and Joe, everyone's been really instrumental in pulling a lot of this information together and working to put together a pretty good plan. So I appreciate the input and the help that we're getting on our side.
Thank you.
Thank you. So I'll take the engineer's report from here. The second project, the pavement maintenance project.
Speak up, please.
Am I being too loud now? People made comments, but I wasn't loud enough. So I was really trying to project. The project is complete. Final reimbursements were sent to NHDOT for review. Those packages were approved, and they are in the process of being finalized for signatures at the airport. Closeout reports will follow shortly after that. On a side note, there has been some cracking observed on the golf ramp or golf taxiway. That was one of the sections that had some crack repairs performed and then was overlaid. Over the course of the winter, with some of these extreme temperature variations we've had, and this is something that I spoke to Bruce about on yesterday, on Tuesday, and he said that they're seeing it in pretty much all of the overlays they've done. They're seeing cracking, and we're in the process of scheduling a meeting to have the owner of Continental Paving come out through the cracks, and we'll come into an agreement on corrective action that's acceptable to all parties. Actions recommended of the authority would be to review and sign closeout documents upon receipt. And are there any questions regarding the paving maintenance project?
I'd just like to make a comment, if I may. When we were inspecting that at the end of the job last year, you'll recall, I wasn't happy with some of the work that was done. There was some, we'll call them speed bumps, for lack of a better term, in the overlay, and that was due to the fact that during the job, they changed the scope of the work, and they simply milled out the cracks that were under there, and they filled the cracks in versus sealing them. And what should have been done, hindsight being 20/20, is they should have then milled again instead of leaving those fill-ins were proud. So as you paved over it, they telegraphed through the new pavement. So we brought the owner of Continental, Rick Charbonneau, down to look at it. And we looked around, and, you know, it was done. And Rick guaranteed me that it's not going to fail. And he said he'd stand behind his work like he's told the engineering firm. So when he comes and looks at it, I have no doubt that they're going to take care of it. What take care of it means, I don't know at this point. But we'll have to look, and I think Rick's going to stand behind his work like he said.
And I think Continental has been very open and approachable about this entire project. I mean, they're one of the biggest contractors in the state. They're well known, especially in the airport industry, and they want to finish every job properly and not have something like this be a black mark on their reputation. So they're on board to repair at whatever, you know, solution they come to. At no additional cost to the airport, obviously. Any other questions or comments regarding the paving?
Are you going to talk about the ceiling project?
The ceiling of?
Grievance.
Oh, yes, I'll get to that. Okay. Project 3 is the moving seal project. As you can see up in the main section, the project is scheduled to enter construction this spring. At this point, no contact has been made with the contractor. However, in the next couple of weeks, I'll reach out to them and, you know, sort of gauge their availability as well as their stuff. Leading into construction, we'll hold a mandatory pre-construction conference to discuss safety during construction. And at this time, again, no start date has been determined due to the variability of the weather coming in the spring. But I expect we'll have a clearer picture of that by next week.
That's still a two-part process.
Still a two-part project. It will be phase one, would be the grooving, which is night work. It will take approximately 5 days. That will be completed. Ideally, we would give the pavement some time to flush, maybe a rainstorm, to get any dust or sediment off of it. And then we would come back with a temporary closure of about 5 to 10 days to seal and remark the entire room.
Does the grooving, would be impacted by temperature?
The grooving would be. That's why we have to wait until the spring. Originally, we were doing it in the fall before the temperatures got too cold, but being that it's nighttime work, we need warm enough temperatures where the groover can saw cut those grooves, and then either the same piece of equipment will have a vacuum suction that pulls the slurry up, and if it's below freezing, that slurry could start to freeze and it would impede the ability.
So acceptable temperature is
Above freezing
for duration.
For the entire. It doesn't have to be, you know, 5 days of consecutive above freezing temperatures overnight. If necessary, they could delay a day if there was a, you know, cold spell, but that would be at the approval of the authority.
Well, spring is 30 days from today, I believe, and so would you be able to have a meeting between now and then and have the contractors come over some full dates so that when we meet next month, we'll be able to say we're going to go on these dates?
Absolutely.
But it's not going to be 5 days after we have that meeting, right?
No. It would be, with enough time for the authority and the manager to give notice to all the pieces of the night.
So in March, we could probably talk about May.
April, May.
And at that time, we're not going to have the freezing problems either, so they can go straight through with the job.
And then,
can you speak on the second part, the 5 to 10 day closure of the second phase? I didn't think it was that long. I thought it was like a 5 day at night for the first phase and then a couple days for the ceiling and striping.
The ceiling will take 5 days total. 3 days total. They can do about 2,000 feet per day. It's the marking, the layout. You have to wait for the ceiling to cure, lay out the markings, and then mark. That could be 5 days total. I think the contract listed 5 days for grooving and then 10 days for the ceiling and remarking. But don't quote me on that.
Yeah, we'll want to just dive into the details.
We will definitely
warn everybody. Start hearing 15 days or
whatever. Yeah. Absolutely. And again, the airport authority can vote to separate those two phases by a month, anything like that. The warmer weather will absolutely cure the ceiling faster than it would in April or May. So,
where did we end up with having two pieces of equipment doing the grooving? I know we talked about that before. Was anybody able to come up with that to get it done faster?
I have not actually asked the contractor that, but with only 5 days, I would assume they're going to throw everything at it.
How about we do this? Dig on the details, put a scope review meeting maybe in the next couple of weeks. Coordinate with Chris whenever you want to do that. I'd like to sit in with you guys and just do a scope review. Let's plot out at least a schematic schedule and then start getting.
And just to clarify, the grooving is temporary nighttime closures.
Right.
Airport will be open during the day, during the grooving.
Wes?
I don't know how far you can separate those two processes, but given the state of the business world and aviation, I'd encourage the authority to think about doing the airport closure. If it's going to be 5 or 10 days, pick a month that's historically a low traffic count as opposed to June 1.
But the contract is written so that the airport authority has the right to approve or deny the schedule based on your operation.
You know, the reality is we could postpone the striping to the fall, but, you know, we'll talk about this in our scoping.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. And were there any other questions regarding the project?
No.
All right. And the final project, number 5 here, is the purchase of snow removal equipment. The first bullet here has not changed. Gail conducted the 95% design review meeting on February 1st at Gail's office with Chris, Farrell, and Carol from HDOT. HDOT comments were incorporated into the specifications. The FAA review period ended on February 12th. They submitted their comments, and Gail was in the process of making those revisions. It's anticipated that bidding will be conducted using the Project Dog online procurement system. I'll be sending Sue the advertising for bids hopefully tomorrow, and if we can get that ad posted, we'll be ready on Monday of next week for contractors to view the bid pack. So at this point, we're anticipating the third week in March for a bid opening. That way it would give us a week to review the documents, make a recommendation of award, and then apply for grant with NHDOT by April 1st.
Is that realistic that the state would kick in 55% of the share for that project?
In our conversations, they I'm sorry, can you ask that one more time?
State share is 55%.
Should be 5%.
Okay.
Did I type that twice?
Well, the FAA share was 40%. State share was 55%.
They
add up to 100.
Depending on...
Good enough for me, right? Yeah, but 55% is nothing.
Right. Right. Yeah. So just to update the authorities, the AIP program places priority rankings on each type of project. And... snow removal equipment, unfortunately, is just below the threshold at which AIP funds can be applied. So what can be done is the airport can use their non-primary entitlements, the $150,000 you receive from the FAA every year, to put towards a project. And then the NHDOT receives about $800,000 a year in state apportionments from the FAA, and that's how they fund, you know, statewide crack sealing and marking projects. Carol gave a verbal commitment of the remainder of the funds necessary at our scoping meeting, and she's confirmed that since, although nothing has been put in place. But she has attended the design review meetings, and she's not said anything about a lack of funding available. So for that reason, I believe that's why it's at 55% funded by the state. They intend to use state apportionment to make up the difference between the airport's entitlements and what
so the quarter of the state apportionment we're going to have.
Correct. So.
And she had said that in the initial scoping meeting that we were at, and she confirmed it when Farrell and I were up there.
Yeah.
And we also picked up that $26,000.
Yes. Yep.
An additional $26,000 of non-primary entitlement from another airport, and instead of putting that towards the project, she said that she would commit the rest to it.
So, just finishing up with the SRE equipment. Where am I now? So the recommended actions, Gail will coordinate with the airport and advertise for bids prior to the end of February. Again, hopefully by tomorrow we can have that up and posted. The only thing we need to do is open the project account on Project.org, and then we have a confirmation number that we can then put in the advocates and contractors on the website, type in that code and use documents. You know, aside from assisting Gail with publishing the ad and telegraph or no other actions required of the authority. Any questions on the SRE project?
Okay. Thank you very much.
That concludes the engineer's report.
Next item is old business, the HB 124 update. That's the House bill that was.
I didn't want to cover.
I'm sorry. I'm too excited to talk about this.
Yeah.
All right. Master Plan Committee.
So I think Matt provided most of the update as far as the Master Plan Committee goes. I presume you're moving forward with Chapter 6?
Yes.
Okay. So
we'll 6, 7, and 8.
6, 7, and 8. Okay. So I anticipate sending out a note to the mailing list in the not-too-distant future, looking to have our next meeting, you know, covering those chapters.
And I appreciate you bringing me that,
You bet.
That was really great. That was helpful for me. So.
Okay.
That's nice to know. So if you could do that, the other chapters.
Yeah.
Quick question on the Chapter 5 posting. Is there a period that needs to be or should get posted?
No, what we've been doing is... so we completed chapters 1 through 3 first, and then we just posted them, and they're still up. You can go on and look at them in chapter 4, which was the forecast that got added to it. Sue's just been adding them, and they're up there, so they're for public comment.
That's it for me.
Okay. Strategic Planning Committee.
Right.
Hiatus.
We're actually...
You're part of us now.
We're part of you. We're unified.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we're
blended. Okay. Now we move to old business. House Bill 124 update. That was the bill in the House that was introduced to originally to eliminate all registration fees for aircraft. That has since been amended, and there was a committee that worked over the summer in a subcommittee of the House, the Ways and Means, that devised an amendment which would eliminate the millage portion of the registration fees and make up that shortfall by increasing fuel taxes that the state would impose. Fuel fees. And that was approved by the subcommittee. Went to the Ways and Means, and they approved that. It then went to the full House, and it was on the consent agenda. And one of the reps decided to take it off the consent agenda. And then they had some snowstorms, and they didn't have sessions. But the long story is that, short story long, is that it did pass the House about 2 weeks ago as a bill that this board has and the aldermen have recommended we adopt. On the Senate side, there's another bill called Senate Bill 565, which is not revenue neutral. It does eliminate the millage, but it has a different fee structure for aircraft, and did pass the House Ways, the Senate Ways and Means Committee, and is now going to be voted on by the full Senate on Thursday. So we can conceivably have two aircraft registration bills in the legislature, both eliminating the millage fees, and which we have been supporting. And the Senate bill, they would need to figure out themselves how they're going to pay for any shortfall in eliminating those fees. It conceivably can go to, and I know Wes has talked extensively with representatives, it can go to a conference committee. One of the bills can be retained and one can be just put on the shelf. So it's still in process, and we should know more on after Thursday. All right, next is new business. Approval of 20-year lease extension for 89 Associates LLC E-1453.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the 20-year lease extension for 89 Associates LLC E-1453.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, there's been a motion, it's been seconded. Is there any discussion?
Yep. Is that building 89?
Mayor 89, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mary? Yeah.
Well, you have a request for 89 and 91. Why are we only doing 89?
We're not. We're doing 89 first.
No. But there is no 91. Okay.
Yeah, so Mary, is this other one 1450 Associates?
We just have 50 Associates.
Yes,
we just have it worded.
Yeah.
That's what
they
here.
We're doing 89. It just happens to be 89 twice.
Okay. I know. Okay. Yeah. You've got a FDA contract.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
you. Okay.
Any other discussion? Wes?
This lease is renewed with no change in terms.
Right.
Yeah.
And the extension is outlined in the lease itself.
Can everyone remember to state your name for the record, please?
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Then we have an approval of a 20-year lease extension for 1450 Associates, LLC, E1450.
I'll make a motion to approve the 20-year lease extension for 1450 Associates, LLC, E1450.
You're a second.
Yeah.
Discussion?
I'm assuming the same parameters, existing lease, existing.
Yes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Upcoming events. You already knew about this. Okay. Any other public input? Okay. Director's comments. Let's start with Secretary Schaefer.
When do we review the CPI?
January 1st?
January, all the rates will be adjusted.
Yes.
And Mike, do you have more of them later on?
Yes, my apologies. I'd like to introduce to everyone Alderman Jan Schmidt, who's also a state representative.
Okay.
And she will be our liaison to the Board of Aldermen.
Well, she's going to do it all.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, Lucia. I've lived in Ward 1 for almost 20 years. We go to the airport as often as possible for breakfast. Been a state rep for two terms with a break between them. My committee there is labor, although I pay close attention to everything that happens to Nashua. You probably have heard of my husband, Adlai Schmidt. He has lived in the city for a very long time. I am a retired web developer, and that's pretty much it.
And you've been very active with the HB 124.
As active as I possibly could, yes. Yeah. Did a lot of lobbying, wanted to make sure that it passed. Mm-hmm. I know it'll make a big difference for business, mm-hmm. and therefore for the airport.
We appreciate that.
Anything else?
Joe? I'm good, thank you.
You better go to
Farrell.
I got a
hunch. Well, I thought Sandy was going to keep it short and sweet. So I'll put in one more plug for the for the effort by the Airport Authority in clearing snow this winter. I think it's been wonderful. I appreciate all of that work. And that's all I have for now.
Want to thank Alderman Schmidt for coming. I really appreciate you showing an interest. I know you showed an interest before you became Alderman for our board, so I appreciate that. We'll stay in touch, make sure we communicate, and anything that you need from us, make sure you let us know, okay? I want to talk about our elections. Maybe you could help put forth some good names for replacements. Personally, I would like to have a woman on the board. I just think it brings a nice balance, keeps the men in line. However, the best candidate would be great. We were in a bad place for a while. We're in a really good place now. And I want people to start looking now so that when the time comes, somebody great for the airport will be available. That being said, every change is good, everybody kind of rotating positions, I think is a good thing. It would be nice to have somebody that could do numbers so Mike doesn't have to do it all the time. I want to talk about businesses coming before the board too, Chris. I know we have a lot of new businesses on the airport, and I just want to make sure everyone spreads the word that they're supposed to come before the board and introduce themselves. So that as a board, we know who's on the airport, what they do, we can promote them, and we know what's going on. So I know that's been getting a little lax. I want to make sure people spread the word about that. Let me see. Mike already did the HB 124. I guess that's about it, right? Yeah, I think everything else was covered.
That's fairly short.
Yeah,
that was such a job, right? Thank you. I want to thank everyone for coming tonight. I think we had a very productive meeting, and we look forward to continuing with our projects and making the airport continue success. With that, I will.
Yeah. I'd like to make a motion to adjourn public session and move into non-public session pursuant to RSA 91A3, Section 2A.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, adjourn public session.